Friends, we are going to discuss now chapter 5, and that is regarding international commercial terms. In short, it is called as a INCO terms. The year in which these INCO terms are published is considered, latest version is always considered for undertaking the international trade by the trading community. In 1936, first time the international commercial terms were incorporated and accepted by all the trading communities. This international commercial terms, its relevance is very important, because when buyer is one country of the goods and seller of the goods is in another country, they do not know everybody, and each one of them are not knowing to them, and the terms of the business, their language, is completely undertaken in the local languages only, so as to determine the international technique, and uniformity is required to be maintained at international level. International Chamber of Commerce, International Chamber of Commerce, Paris, they have come out with one publication named International Commercial Terms. Right from 1936, that is 1936 onward, there were various amendments happened to this international commercial term. In short, it is called as a INCO terms. INCO terms, and the year in which it is published will be called as a INCO terms, like 2010, 2020, like that. The current INCO terms are version 2020. So, modified version of the INCO terms 2020 is currently acceptable worldwide by all the trading communities. Now, why these INCO terms are? As I explained, the language barrier between the buyer and seller, different countries not knowing to each other, these are some of the constraints. Apart from the cost of the goods, there are several elements which attracts in international trade. It may be freight, it may be insurance, it may be carriage, it may be some other facts also, maybe air shipment or sea shipment, or maybe by road, by rail, and different kind of where to place the goods, and from where it is originated, and ultimately who is to bear what cost. Who is to, either seller has to bear the cost of exporting, or buyer has to incur the cost of importing goods, that is clearly defined in international trade by using these terms, which are called as INCO terms. These INCO terms, current publication is INCO terms 2020. For our discussion in this chapter, first we will try to understand INCO term 2020 in general what it is. Then all these terms which are used in international commercial trade, that has been explained. And in short, to remember, we have one reference guide, one particular slide where that will give the gamut of all the INCO terms, and also consisting who is to bear what type of a cost. And finally, understanding after revision the INCO term 2010 and INCO term 2020, what is the difference between them, and ultimately when it is published in 2020, how the business is prepared, that is buyer and seller are prepared to accept these INCO term 2020, are very important, and that is what we are going to discuss in this chapter. Okay. This Incoterms, previous version was Incoterms 2010. Okay. These are revised. And this publication was issued by the ICC. These Incoterms 2020 defines what is the cost that seller has to bear. That is seller's cost. And risk associated with transporting the goods from one point to another point, or one country to another point, another country. Okay. How this risk is shifted from the seller of the goods to the buyer of the goods. Buyer of the goods ultimately doesn't carry any, at initial stage, any risk. But once the journey of the goods starts, then slowly he is trying to cover the risk, and he is entering into the risk parameter. In addition to that, it is important to understand, not all the rules for all the cases will be applied, but some rules or mode of transport are very much essential to understand. It may be water transport, and it may be land transport, or it may be air transport. The transport by all the modes, any mode, it may be road, rail, air, or sea. For whenever goods are transported by these modes, any mode of transport, then in that case, the Incoterms that are used are 7 Incoterms. That is FCA, CPT, CIP, DAP, DPU, and finally the GDP. Now, these are the short forms of the Incoterms, and only these terms are determining who is to bear what type of cost. Okay, very simple, very easy to understand also. Now, these 7 terms for any transport, but specifically for the sea transport or waterway transport, inland waterway transport, there are 4 more terms that are specifically used. These are FAS, FOB, CFR, and CIF. These are the 5 terms. Now, earlier 7 terms for any transport, and exclusively for the sea transport or inland water transport, 4 terms together forms 11 Incoterms. So, moral of the story is, total Incoterms 2020, there are 7 Incoterms which are used for any kind of transport, and 4 Incoterms are used only for the sea and inland waterway transport. This is very important to remember. Right? Now, these Incoterms, as I said earlier also, were first published in 1936, and thereafter the revision has been taken place year-on-year basis, and from 2022 onward, the 2020 Incoterms are accepted for the uses, and this will be used from 2022. The Incoterms which are published in 2020 as per the International Chamber of Commerce publication. Now, these changes, though I said it has come with effect from the 1st of January 2020 and are being used in 2022, that is current year, and beyond, after this year also, until the next change happens. Okay. ICC originally published these terms, as I said, and these terms are very, very important and accepted, which reflect the changes of the global trade environment. The need of change is very much important because there is a change in environment, change in trading environment, I mean to say. Okay? Therefore, all the parties which are involved in the trade clearly understand the changes that has been happened in the revised term sheets. Okay, Incoterm plays a very vital role in world trade, as well as in 2020, when it is imperative that the buyer and the seller clearly understand the Incoterms. Then, in that case, our Incoterm 2020 or 10, it clearly understand each party, their obligation along with the supply chains. Because supply chain is such that once the journey of the goods starts, it ends with the buyer receive the goods. Okay, in between there are various event happens in the life cycle of the transportation of the goods from one place to another place. These Incoterms generally are the selling terms. Selling terms mean the seller who is a producer or manufacturer of the goods. Okay, and buyer and seller of the goods both agree during the transaction. While they are entering into the agreement, both of them should agree which Incoterms are to be used, depending upon what type of cost one has to bear. Therefore, these rules, Incoterms rules, are accepted by the government as well as the legal authorities almost in all parts of the world. So, understanding Incoterm is a vital part of the international trade because they clearly state which task, what type of cost, and what kind of risk is associated with the buyer, and what kind of risk and all these things associated with the seller. Incoterms always says that when the seller's cost, that means it is the cost of the goods, in addition to that, there is additional cost. That cost may be either payment of freight, payment of insurance, or hiring charges, or depositing charges, goods at the port, or there may be lifting charges from port to the ship, downloading charges. After the downloading, carrying charges from the port of ultimate destination to the port of, to the place of the ultimate buyer. Various costs involved into it. It is also important to understand that not all the rules apply. Again, I am saying that to all the cases, a specific case, when specific term is used, only that specific part only you have to take into consideration. Mode of transport. As I said, for all type of mode of transport, 7 Incoterms are used, and these Incoterms are FCA, PPT, CIP, DAP, and DDP, and other Incoterms for only for the water transport is FAS, FOB, CFR, and CIF. Okay. Now, one by one, we are going to understand the Incoterms. Now, the first Incoterm is EXW. EXW. The meaning of EXW is X Works or X Warehouse. What is the meaning of this? X Works means seller produces the goods. Okay? When the seller produces the goods and place the goods in for the disposal or sale and purchased to be purchased by the buyer at the seller's premises or another named place like warehouse, factory or workplace, whatever it may be. Once the goods are produced by the seller, the goods are placed in the warehouse or any other place which is convenient to him for the purpose of sale. Thereafter, the seller does not need to load the goods on the collecting vehicle. Maybe it is truck or lorry or whatever it may be. Nor does it need to clear them for the export where such clearance is applicable. In short, it is the duty of the seller of the goods when he uses the EXW Incoterms, that is three letter term EXW, then in that case, it is his responsibility only to produce the goods and keep it at one particular place for the disposal by the buyer. Disposal by the buyer. He has to come or he has to deputize the people to lift the goods, put it into the lorry, take it to the railway. Railway will carry. It will go up to the seaport or airport. Thereafter, it will be lifted. All these costs, you know, till it go, the goods are reaching to the destination, this is covered under EXWs. That means, in short, seller has to bear the cost of manufacturing the product only, and no other cost he is going to pay when he uses the in Incoterms EXW. Now, another term which is used is FCA. What is the meaning of FCA? Free carrier. It is free carrier. What does it indicate? It indicates once the goods are ready, it is placed at one place for the purpose of delivering, and when the seller delivers the goods to the carrier, seller delivers the goods to the carrier or to another person which is named by the buyer, which is named by the buyer at the seller's premises. At the seller's premises. So, the cost of deputing the person and carrying the goods into the vehicle, putting the goods into the vehicle, for carrying into it into the named place, the cost associated with that will be only borne by the buyer and not by the seller. Okay? But when FCA word is used, the exporter or seller's duty is to make the goods available to the another person at particular destination or particular point. In short, the parties are well advised to specify explicitly that a point within the named place of the delivery as the risk possesses to the buyer at that point of time. Suppose buyer, seller has kept the goods ready for sale and he entered into agreement with the buyer. Buyer says, okay, I will purchase the goods provided you make the goods available at particular airport or particular seaport. So naturally, to carrying the goods from the factory or the premises of the manufacturer or seller till the port will be the responsibility of the seller. And thereafter, carrying those goods to the final destination will be the responsibility of the buyer. This is what mentioned under FCA, that is free carrier. From buyer's point of view, it is a free carrier till or to the point of the, which is mentioned by the buyer. Next, third, FAS, free alongside ship. The meaning of FAS is free alongside the ship. Now, ship may be airship or it may be sea ship. Particularly, ship is nothing but it is a vessel. Okay. Now, what is the responsibility of the seller? Seller produces the goods and he delivers the goods, which is a place alongside where the ship is stationed in the sea. Where the ship is stationed or standing in the sea. Up to that point, that is also called as a koi or barge. Okay. Up to that point, whatever cost will be incurred directly from the factory or manufacturing unit till to place the goods after sale to the place alongside of the ship, just beside the ship, he has to keep the goods. Whatever cost will be incurred, that has to be incurred by the seller. Then risk or loss or damage which has happened to the goods and the product alongside of the ship, whatever may happen to the goods, that risk will be associated with the seller. After the goods are placed alongside of the ship, Thereafter, another risk and the cost will be payable by the buyer. Another Incoterm, that is fourth Incoterm, is a FOB, that is free on board. Free on board. That means seller's responsibility is to deliver the goods on the board of the vessel, not alongside of the vessel, on the board of the vessel which is nominated by the buyer. And that too particularly at the named port of shipment. At the named port of shipment. Okay. Up to that, the cost which is incurred, that has to be absorbed by the seller and it is not to be passed on to the buyer. Now, any losses happen till the goods are placed on board, that will be borne by the seller, and thereafter anything happens to the goods, that will be the responsibility or risk that is undertaken by the buyer. Fifth term, FAS, free alongside ship. Sailor delivers when the goods are placed alongside of the vessel, that is on koi or barges. Sorry, we went back. Fifth is a CPT, that is carriage paid to. I'm sorry, there was a little bit of misunderstanding in between because of the earlier slide we took for the discussion. That is not required. Fifth term is CPT, that is carriage paid to. Carriage means the charges for carrying the goods, that is a carriage. Sailor delivers the goods to the carrier who carries the goods to the named place or to the named place of unloading, to another person nominated by the sailor at the agreed place, and the sailor must contract to pay the cost of the carriage which is necessary to bring the goods to the named place of destination. Carriage paid to named place of destination, that is final place of destination. Up to that, the entire, whatever the cost will be incurred for carrying those goods there, that will be absorbed by the seller only. That is called carriage paid to. Now, next sixth one is CIP, because carriage and insurance paid to. I stands for insurance. Carriage, insurance, paid to, that is CIP. The seller has the same responsibility as we have seen in CPT. That means, alongside of the carrying those goods to the named place of destination at the buyer's country, buyer's point, okay, goods has to be delivered there. Plus, in addition to that, seller has to insure the goods. So insurance payment, premium payment, that also will be attracted. So CPT and CIP, extended version of CPT is CIP. Because carriage paid to, in addition to that, if insurance paid to, then Incoterm become cost insurance and paid, or carriage insurance paid to. Okay. So, in addition to the CPT, the additional expenses that to be incurred by the seller is insurance charges. Here, buyer should note that under CIP, if this Incoterm is used, seller is required to obtain the insurance only on minimum cover. And should the buyer wish to have the more insurance protection, it will need either to agree as much expressly with the seller or to make its own extra insurance arrangement. Whenever I am sailing, I will general insurance I will take. But any additional clauses in the insurance has to be incorporated. Then in that case, it is very essential for the buyer to take the additional insurance and make the insurance arrangement. Seventh one is DAP, that is delivered at place. The place which is nominated or decided by the buyer, it is a responsibility of the seller to deliver the goods, that is deliver the goods at the disposal of the buyer to named place of destination or delivery. Named a place of destination. After unloading the goods from the ship to ground and thereafter to carry also to the premises of the buyer, it is very much required. This cost will be borne by the seller. Seller bear all the risk which is involved in bringing the goods to the named place. Buyer has nothing to do in this. Now, DPU. DPU is a delivered at place and unloaded. So, delivered, place, unloaded is the short form of it is DPU. This Incoterm was earlier there in 2010 version, earlier version. And that time it was called as a DAT. DAT. Now it has been changed from DAT to DPU. So DPU replaces the earlier Incoterm DAT, that is delivered at terminal. Terminal is always at the port terminal. And the seller delivers only at that terminal earlier. Now when the goods once unloaded, it's at the disposal of the buyer at the named place of destination also. From there also, from terminal to named place of destination, that seller has to carry the goods up to that destination. And to that effect, the term DPU, that is delivered at the place which is named by the buyer, has come into the effect. Seller bears all the cost which is involved in bringing the goods to the unloading them, and thereafter at the named place of destination, all cost will be borne by the seller only. Now DDP. DDP is a delivered duty paid. It is extended form of the earlier DPU. What is happening in this case? Goods will be delivered at the named place of destination, but it is important to clear the goods from the customs transit. Custom will have certain charges to be paid by the either party, maybe seller or buyer. When DDP term is used, then seller has to make the necessary arrangement to take the goods till the final place of destination which is named by the buyer, including the customs duty also required to be paid by the seller, where in normal course it is paid by the buyer. In normal course it is paid by the buyer. Therefore, DDP term is used, that is delivered duty paid. In short, seller bears all the cost and the risk which involved in bringing the goods to the place of destination. It means he must clear the product not only for the export but also for the import, to pay the duty for both export and import and to carry out all the custom formalities. Okay, thank you very much.